You're listening to an encore presentation of Faith and Family.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Carol Dippold, an older adult counselor with Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. Carol, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to speak with you.
Carol, tell me about your work as older adult counselor for LFCS of Missouri.
Okay. We have had a program going for individuals with memory loss for about 9 years. It started with a group for individuals who at that time we were calling early memory loss, and we had been awarded a grant through the Brookdale Foundation. And we started that group up with one person, and by the end of the month we had two, and by the end of the year we had 12. So it just grew incredibly well, and it served a very good purpose for a couple years. And then, as with most dementia, the decline was noticed, and we recognized the need for a group for individuals who were in later stages. So we once again got a grant and added a group for later stage memory loss. And that one flourished very well. And again, as disease progresses, we could see where the people's conditions were progressing further along, and we needed to go back at a group for very early, because our early were each gradually going along in that spectrum. So we now have three groups, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and we tend to put them into an early, middle, and late stage categories.
Why is memory care important, an important part of caring for aging adults?
You know, when I think about it, there are two ways of looking at memory care. And up until our anticipated conversation today, I've always focused on memory care for people who have or are in those beginning stages of memory loss. But I thought it might be good to bring out the importance of maintaining memory prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be for those healthy individuals who are earlier in life, before the anticipated decline in memory would occur, who do need to do everything they can to maintain healthy brains for as long as possible. And the whole idea of that is that they can maintain a better sense of confidence and be more independent and maybe allow themselves to get more creative, you know, as they're going into later years of life, as opposed to those who have now reached an early cognitive decline in later years. And here it becomes very important to maintain memory health, because we want them to maintain their independence for as long as possible. So I think that's really getting to be the bottom line, is to keep people as able to be as independent for as long as they can in making their own decisions, living as independently, continuing to drive, all safely and for as long as possible.
Why is independence such an important part of life? I know, you know, I have a 3-year-old son, so I understand that desire for autonomy. Why in our older years is that independence still so important?
I think as we have gone through life and we have had that independence, to then have it pulled out from under us or taken away from us, it just becomes such a battle often between the individual who is losing it and the person who is, in essence, in some cases, actually taking it away, saying, no, you may not drive, or no, you will not live alone anymore. But at the same time, just for that own individual sense of self-esteem and well-being, that they can, that they're thinking they're no longer worthy or capable or valuable as a person because they cannot do for themselves. So I think it's just our whole being. We want to be as independent as we can for as long as we can.
What happens? What are the consequences if we neglect a memory or cognitive issue, if we don't receive care for memory issues?
It can escalate. It's really important when an older adult who is having memory loss problems gets a good diagnosis to confirm what is causing that problem, because often it is a reversible condition. It could be that their diet is not adequate and they have a vitamin deficiency, or they may be having mini strokes, or they could have an infection. UTIs, urinary tract infections, often can impair memory. Their medications may not be working well. Even being dehydrated can be very significant in terms of thinking and cognition. So by getting that early diagnosis and getting it checked to be sure of what the cause of the memory loss is, can in some instances prevent it from getting worse. But on the other hand, where it would, through all the testing and evaluation, confirm that there is a dementia due to Alzheimer's or Lewy bodies or vascular, you know, whatever the reason might be, by getting that diagnosis early enough, there can be some interventions, I think, that will slow the progression, which is what our groups are hopefully doing. They have medications that can be administered, and these, they intend to slow it. For some people they work, for some people they do not, but there's really no cure. So we're just looking at this point yet at trying to slow the progression for people. So that would be the really important part of taking care of it, so the consequences of going further can be stopped as soon as possible.
What are some of the signs that there's a memory issue and that care is needed?
I think one of the ones that shows up often in families is individuals having difficulty with money management, and they may not be managing their checkbooks properly. They may be doing extravagant spending. They may be giving money away that they normally would not be giving to certain kinds of or certain individuals. Other than the money, there is the misplacing of items. And as you often hear and see, the keys are found in the refrigerator, or food is found in a drawer in the bathroom, or just random items are out of place, which is another important sign. I think one that can be the most threatening and scary is a loss of direction. And this can come without any forewarning, where someone is driving home and all of a sudden they realize that they don't know where they are. They may be headed totally in the opposite direction of where they want to go, and they're not even able to identify that as the situation. And that can be very scary. Often those people do get home, and they may mask it or cover it and not tell people and hope it's an isolated event. Sometimes they do not get home, but losing sense of direction would be another sign. And then we have the common ones where people forget words and names and mislabel family members. Things such as that can also be some of those warning signs.
As a family member, as a loved one, perhaps a spouse, you see these signs. Maybe you're a spouse, or you know, adult children of someone who's starting to present some of these signs of memory loss. How do you approach that conversation? How do you begin a conversation? How do you open the door to try to get help and care for someone with memory loss?
And that can be a very touchy subject. A lot will depend on the relations the individuals have in that family. It may be there would be a particular individual in that family who would be a better one to approach, mom or dad, if we're talking of a parent-child relationship. It may be even a child as opposed to a spouse. It just could be very individual. And then that person in love would try and talk with the person with the memory loss and say, you know, that I feel concern for your safety or your well-being, or just that things are going to go well for us. And these are things that I maybe have observed. And it's so important not to be critical or judgmental or cause the person with the memory loss to become on the defensive. And as that disease progresses more and more, it's even more important to accept that person where he or she is. So in the very beginning, when there still is some reason and thinking going on in the individual with the memory loss, hopefully they can accept that as a gesture of love and want to work with the family in doing that. It sometimes is helpful to have a family meeting, and often outside individual can come in, maybe a pastor or a counselor or someone else, and sit with the family and as a group discuss things more easily than just the family trying to confront or approach the other family member with the memory loss on it. So, you know, it's like I said, it's a very difficult conversation often to have. And I think going to support groups for family members is maybe one way to help get some ideas on that, because often the people in these support groups have already been in that position of having to confront or deal with the issue and dealing it with the family. And then again, the doctor would be another option, because especially when it comes to driving, the individual with memory loss can become very guarded and defensive and not want to have to forfeit driving. And if a family member tells them that, it can create a lot of conflict. So if it comes from a doctor, the family doctor perhaps, that person may be a little bit more accepting of it. The thing with Alzheimer's and these other dementias and memory losses is it is very individual. No two scenarios are going to play out the same in any two people. So what works in one situation may not work in another situation. So each family will have to find what works better for their own situation. And sometimes it's a hit and miss and it takes time, but it is very important to address those issues with that individual.
What are the programs that Lutheran Family Children's Services of Missouri offers that can help individuals and families that are facing memory issues?
Okay. Here in Cape Girardeau, which is where we have the older adult services, we have the groups 3 days a week for individuals with the memory loss. The Monday group is now the group for people who are in the later stages. The Thursday group is for the people who are more moderate. And then the Tuesday group is for people who are very early. These individuals may be living alone, may be living with family, but are relatively independent. Perhaps they are still driving. So the Tuesday group individuals often are aware of their memory not being what it was, or their cognition and their thinking, and they will discuss it. And that's one of the features of this group, is that we do a lot of sharing and talking about what is it like when we're told we're not remembering well, or what is it like when we're told we're not to be driving anymore. So these group members share a lot of the emotional portion of what's going on with having the memory loss, or maybe they even have been given a diagnosis. Whereas on the Monday group, these people who are later stage, it's benefiting that individual to come to our groups, because I think socialization is very important, but it also is helping their loved one, be that a spouse or an adult child who is responsible for the care of their parent, because that person who is involved in now 24-hour care, because that's the progression that we're seeing, needs a break. And so this group not only is giving the care receiver, the person with the memory loss, time to socialize and be with other people and do some very structured activities, but it is also benefiting the caregiver by giving that person 4 hours to do whatever he or she needs or wants to do for him or herself, which is so very important. And the Thursday group is kind of a middle of the two of those. Some of those individuals are going toward that later stage, and they do have a more intense respite need for their care providers, whereas there are others in the group yet who are a little bit earlier on, and it's not meeting any critical need yet for a care provider. So those groups, the early, middle, and later stage groups, are one service that we have to offer. Another one that we offer is the support group for family caregivers. And this meets on the second Monday of the month, and it is about an hour and a half long. And we do this through the Alzheimer's Association, which provides us with a lot of literature and information that we can share with family members. But these family members, they come together, they share their experiences, their frustrations, ways that they have found to try and solve or address different problems that might come up. And it's through that sharing and personal expression of frustrations or joys or whatever it is that they build a really strong core among themselves and find a lot of good support. We have many who come and say they didn't realize how many other people were having these same kinds of problems that they were having to live with. And just knowing that there is another person out there dealing with these things. And then sometimes they'll call each other between times. But that kind of camaraderie and fellowship that they can share is another way that we help to serve as the support group. And then between support groups and the individuals who are coming to the groups for individuals with memory loss, we do one-on-one consultation and meet with families and offer counseling in terms of things that we think might help in any kind of situation that they're facing. We might have some informational literature that we can discuss and share with them in terms of specific care techniques and things like that. So it's the support for families and consulting, and it's the support group for the caregivers as a group, and then it's the groups for the individuals themselves.
Let's talk about some activities, ways to keep our memories, our cognitive abilities strong, even perhaps before there might be any signs of a memory issue.
Okay. And as I had alluded to a little earlier, I'm thinking, again, along two veins. I'm thinking of those people who are really well. They're maybe still in the workforce, and they just want to do everything they can to do whatever they can to prevent maybe going the direction of dementia, the way we're seeing it in the growing older adult population. And it's interesting, the number of books now that one can find that actually have techniques and strategies for doing this. And this is not an area that I spend a lot of time with because I'm typically working with the older adults who have more advanced memory loss. But there are techniques available and organizational methods and phonetics and acronyms and rehearsal and planning, different techniques as those that those individuals who are earlier on prior to any kind of memory loss could use. But then someone who is already having memory loss and they may be, you know, close to or already having been given a diagnosis of dementia, of Alzheimer's or Lewy body or many other forms of dementia. At this time, we're no longer looking at those same preventive learned techniques, I don't feel. I think now we're looking at more how can we help this person to maintain their level of independence and living for as long as they still can. And here I think it's so important to, one, socialize. Often we see individuals, once they have been given a diagnosis or they feel they're having memory loss, they become very uncomfortable being in a situation or an environment with other people, so they withdraw and isolate themselves, which is probably one of the worst things we can do to keep our minds alert and active. So by socializing, I think that is a very important key to helping one keep their minds going and their memories as alert as possible. Diet is also important, and that's one of those things that would also come into the earlier stages, but even throughout time, we want to be eating what they say a heart healthy diet is a brain healthy diet. So getting away from processed foods, fatty foods that aren't like the omega-3 type foods, green vegetables, just all these things we can do to keep our diets as healthy as possible. And at the very top of the list on all that is exercise, because with that good blood flow and oxygen intake, we are going to be helping our brains to keep going as positively for as long as possible. So I think those are some key concepts. As far as specific activities, a lot of times in our groups, people will talk about doing the Sudokus or the crosswords or word searches. Any of these kinds of activities is good. The idea is to add variety and not to do the same kinds of activities over and over. So we encourage a lot of different
activities in our groups. I do exercises with sequencing. I think it's important to try and help people retain the ability to put things in the right order. That is one of the things that becomes lost as a dementia progresses. A person may not remember what order to put their clothes on or what progression or steps they need to take in brushing their teeth, for example. So trying to maintain an order for them. So that would be like a sequencing kind of thing. We do things with words. Very often I will give a brief sentence or a description of a concept or an object, and then they have to provide the word that would explain it. And it's really fascinating, and again, this is so very individual, but it's so very fascinating how where one individual can be very quick on the verbal, another one might be very quick with spatial, another one might have good memory recall of general knowledge. Everyone is individual, but as many of these different activities that a person can work on their own, I think is really helpful.
So there certainly are some things that we can do now before even any potential signs of a memory loss. What?
Yes.
How can loved ones find a memory care program in their area if they, you know, if you have a spouse or a parent that you think is experiencing some memory loss? What is the first step? I would assume perhaps contacting a physician, maybe getting an appointment, and where do we go from there? How do we find help?
I think getting that contact with the physician is very important. From my own experience, many of the physicians really don't have a good sense of direction beyond a diagnosis of where they can reach out to help. The Alzheimer's Association is a good provider of resources and literature, and they may know of a support group or of a memory group or an adult day type program that could accept someone with memory loss. More specifically, I would reflect back to the Brookdale Foundation, which is what granted all our startup funds, and they have granted that throughout the nation to different agencies and organizations, and they have a list of where all of their adult day programs are that they have helped to initiate. So that would be a resource. That's the Brookdale Foundation. Also, the Area Agencies on Aging. Now, in our Cape Girardeau area, that is now called Aging Matters, but they have information also for older adults, and often it would include information on adult daycare programs or adult memory programs. And perhaps also the hospitals. I've known of a couple hospitals, at least, who have within their organizations are initiating adult day memory programs. So the hospitals might also be a contact.
Very good. Well, this is certainly helpful information, and I certainly appreciate it. Anything else as we wrap up our conversation today, Carol?
Oh, I just really appreciate the time, and if anyone would need help with that and want to contact me, I'd be happy to help them too through our agency.
Very good. How can we find out more about Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri to get answers for questions like that?
Okay, yes. You can contact me, Carol D., at lfcs.org, or go to our website, www.lfsmo.org. I'm sorry, lfcsmo.org.
lfcsmo.org.
Yes.
It's Lutheran and Family Children's Services of Missouri, and find out more about memory care. Carol, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for this helpful information, and perhaps we've helped some listeners today as well.
I surely hope so. Thank you very much.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.